Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You trust in God, trust also in me." So today we begin a journey, how to live with an untroubled heart in a troubled world. I was talking years ago to our friend Dallas Willard, and he was asking how I was doing, and it was a very difficult time. There was a lot of pain in my family, and that spilled over into other areas, and it made it difficult for ministry, and wasn't sure what people thought about what I was doing and how adequate I was, and I was experiencing quite a lot of anxiety and worry and quite a lot of pain. And what I said to him was, "I'm doing okay under the circumstances." And his question was, "What are you doing under there?" In other words, we're actually not meant to live under our circumstances, where the state of our heart is primarily a reflection of what is going on around us. We are meant to live under, in the midst of, immersed in the care and watchful love and protection and guidance and power and strength of our God in the midst of a troubled world. It's a deeply troubled world, and we're not called to escape from that, and that's part of what we're going to be looking at. Dallas would sometimes recommend particular passages in the Bible that are especially helpful to enter into a new kind of life, a life with an untroubled heart in a troubled world. And one of those is the section that we're going to walk through together. It's on John chapter 14, beginning with those fabulous words, running through John chapter 15, I think, through about verse 17 or so.
What did
Am
you
I enough?
Get?
Wait, did I respond?
Oh my gosh.
So many opinions in this earth are you not just causing me anxiety?
I'm such a failure.
What have you done?
Do not let your heart be troubled. Now you have a heart. I'll say a word about that. Hans Walter Wolff wrote a great book, Anthropology of the Old Testament. What do the Old Testament scriptures have to say about what it means to be human? And he says the single word that's the most important word in describing human beings is the word heart. It's used over 850 times in the Old Testament alone. It doesn't just mean your emotions, as we tend to think in our day. You might think of it as the executive control center. You live out of your life. You direct your life from your heart. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life, it says. And it's possible to live with a troubled heart, anxious, despairing, grieved, inadequate, failing, ungrateful, guilty. Or it's possible to live with an untroubled heart, and that is to be marked primarily by love and joy and peace. So I'll just ask you right now, today, how is your heart? I'm going to give us a few reflection questions for each day, the same ones all through this series, because we really want to go after this issue. I really want to live more and more and want you to live more and more with an untroubled heart in the midst of a troubled world. And we want to work on this a day at a time. And so one question is, how troubled has this day been? That's my outer world. What have the events been like? Scale of 1 to 10. How troubled has my day been? Secondly, how peaceful has my heart been? Scale of 1 to 10. And it's real important, as we will see even today, to distinguish between the trouble in our world, the trouble in my little world, and the peace in my heart. So, how troubled has this day been? How much peace has my heart experienced? And then the third question is, what might I learn from this? Now, it's terribly important to understand how deeply Jesus knew about what a troubled world we live in, and that his strategy, in fact, in the midst of that was to just get into the trouble, to meet us in our trouble. No one ever got into trouble like Jesus did. When we hear these words, "Don't let your heart be troubled," we might be tempted to think they're kind of Hallmark greeting card words. Jesus is into herbal tea and he's going to do a little meditation for the calm app. Oh, no, no, no. This is real important. As you may know, when the Bible was written, it was not divided up as we have it in our day, into chapters and verses that often end up separating words that were experienced quite closely together. In the text as it was written, it all ran together. They didn't even have periods. And in fact, Jesus is saying these words, "Do not let your heart be troubled," on the night before he is going to die. Why do you think he tells the disciples to not let their hearts be troubled? Because their hearts are troubled. Why are their hearts troubled? Because they're living in a deeply troubled world in a deeply troubled moment. If you got troubles, if you're in a troubled moment, these words are for you. In particular, when Jesus is saying them, the troubles are he's going to be leaving, and they're deeply concerned about this. Not just that, he tells them that one of them, it's going to be Judas Iscariot, is going to betray them. All of them are going to abandon him, going to fail him. And another one, Peter, is going to deny him. Now, this is the context in which he's going to say these words, "Don't let your heart be troubled." He says, "I'm going to leave and you can't follow me. I'm going to be gone." And Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now. You will follow later." Peter said, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay my life down for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me?" Little edge there, a little sarcasm from Jesus. "Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." He drops a bomb. His very next words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Oh, really? Now, Dale Bruner, in a wonderful commentary on John, says that this command, it's an imperative statement. It's in the present tense in the Greek language, which means it could be translated as a continual command. In other words, it could be, don't live continually with a troubled heart, or as Dale suggests, don't let your heart be too troubled. You're living in a troubled world, and so trouble is going to come to our hearts. Of course we're going to experience this because we're living in a difficult moment. Don't let it be too troubled. Don't let it go on without addressing it. And as a matter of fact, part of why we see this is because just a few verses earlier in chapter 13, verse 21, when Jesus tells them that he is going to have to leave, he's facing the crucifixion and he's about to be betrayed, it says, after he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit. And John uses the same word. So Jesus himself experiences this. So it's not, you ought to be able to go through life in our troubled world where you never experience anything but happy, saccharine, positive emotions. No, no, no. But what Jesus does with his troubled spirit is threefold, and this is part of for us. He goes to God with it. In fact, this leads directly to Gethsemane, and maybe the most profound and helpful prayer phrase in all of human history, "Your will be done, your will be done, your will be done." And we can pray that all the time. When we have a troubled heart, that's a good prayer. He goes to God, he goes to people. He actually says to his friends when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says in Matthew, "And Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he said to his disciples, 'Now my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death.'" And what a gift it is for us to know. Jesus knows what it is to have a troubled spirit, to have a troubled heart. And then Jesus also goes to action, and this leads me to what I want to say about trouble today, and our hearts and our worry. He goes to the cross. This is not something that happened to him against his will. In John chapter 10, I think it's in verse 18, he says, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it back up. My Father and I have worked all this out." His troubled spirit leads him to God, leads him to others, and leads him to take action. Now, I want to say a word here about, in particular, what troubles our hearts most often, which is anxiety. And this is a recommendation from my pal, our friend, Dr. Rick, a book, Stopping the Noise in Your Head by Reed Wilson. And he's talking about troubled hearts, in particular anxiety. He says what anxiety will say to you is the way to deal with this pain and unpleasantness is, the problem is you live in a troubled world. So make the trouble go away. God, you should take it away. You should let me live in a cocoon. And if I had to summarize what today is about in a single phrase, that phrase would be this: it's not about the cocoon. Do not look for a cocoon. Worry will try to get you to say, this situation will make me feel anxious, and therefore my strategy will be, I will avoid this situation. I won't go there. I will try to withdraw. And what Reed Wilson says is actually the opposite of this. Worry is a good thing. You know, worry will keep you out of trouble. If you say to yourself, I can beat that red light. I can beat that train across the tracks. I'm going to go for it. I can invest all my money in the stock market based on my horoscope. Worry will say, no, you can't. Not a good idea. So worry is a really good thing. Worry was not created to solve problems. Its purpose is to generate problems. It's just the first step in a process. And once it's identified those problems and said, not a good idea, then what I'm to do is to turn to God. And it's the opposite of what we often think. It sounds crazy, but it's paradoxical. Wilson says, your job, if you want to develop an untroubled heart, overcome anxiety and worry, will be to purposely and voluntarily choose to seek out uncertainty and distress. It'll be hard because to move purposefully into unknown territory under anxiety's control, you must willingly choose to feel clumsy, awkward, unsure, and afraid. You will know you are aggressing in the new unfamiliar territory when you voluntarily and purposely decide to scare yourself. That's your job. That's what Peter does. Jesus says to him, you're going to deny me. And Peter doesn't run and crawl into a hole. He doesn't run away. We're told after that, actually, it goes on, and I think this is in John 18, verse 15. It says, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. He actually went into the courtyard of the high priest, into the lion's den, into the most dangerous place that he could. Now, Peter could have said, or Jesus could have said, this is scary. This is a troubled world. Peter, go home and hide out. Withdraw into your cocoon. Pull the blanket up over your head till I'm dead and I'm resurrected. It'll be okay. Peter gets a lot of criticism for denying of Jesus, understandably so, but the reason he did was because he followed Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, the most dangerous place. He put himself in the place where he was going to face enormous fear, and he failed. And then Jesus was with him, and Jesus strengthened his heart. The only way to an untroubled heart is through a troubled heart. So that's where we start today. The great invitation. I'll talk more about how we're going to arrange our days. I'll give you a little 10-10-10-1 plan going into the future. But today, remember, it's not about the cocoon. Today, remember, it's not about getting out of troubled circumstances. It's not about what you're into. It's what's into you. Who's into you? The presence of Jesus. Today, don't let your heart be troubled.
Hey, before you click off, go ahead and hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel. That'll help us reach more folks. Become New is dedicated to growing spiritually one day at a time, and we do that through brief teachings each weekday. So if you subscribe, you won't miss any future episodes, and we'd love to hear from you. So you can chime in the comments here, or if you're not a part of our Facebook group, right now we're doing something interesting. I'm posting a video there each day to correspond with the video that's released here with a question that you can engage with, and I'd love to have you add your voice to that conversation. So you can find the link to that Facebook group in the description below. You can also find the link to follow us on Instagram or X, where we post regular inspirational posts throughout the week to encourage you in your spiritual growth journey. If you have a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday to pray for viewers just like yourself. So be sure to not carry that burden alone. We would love to come alongside you. You can text your request to the number 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.